reading from God's Holy Scriptures today. Yep, I'm on. Okay. I get ahead of myself. I had an extra cup of coffee. That's the problem. And I made it extra strong there because nobody else knew how to make it. Ooh. We are reading in Proverbs, and this is probably the Proverbs section that is best known by a lot of people. It seemed when I was a kid, they read it a lot at weddings, and I couldn't figure out why, because it seems rather one-sided. It's all about what the woman's going to do. Nowhere in here does it say what he's doing, except that he's blessed, because he's got a woman who does it all like us. So we're reading from the 31st chapter in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to start with verse 10. So we're on page 1032 in our pew Bibles. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. We're reading from the letter in James. We're in the third chapter. We're going to start at the 13th verse, read through to the third verse of chapter 4, and then verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4. Hear then this writing from James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Mark in the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 30. Hear the word of the Lord. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But the disciples did not understand what Jesus meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking the child in his arms, Jesus said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. O God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's reading from the Epistle of James asks three questions. The first one, who is wise and understanding among you? It's a good question. Sometimes we might think we have great wisdom, and then we find out later that we weren't as wise as we thought we were. Sometimes we confuse wisdom with intellect or knowledge. It's not necessarily wisdom, is it? We can know a whole encyclopedia full of information, but we may not be able to do anything with it. Wisdom implies some critical thinking, but it also implies a great deal of discernment and seeing not only the bigger picture, but the path ahead as well. James lifts up a number of markers that he feels are evidence of God-given wisdom in the life of individuals. Remember, I'm trying to find it. I got it right here. Sorry. Okay, so we've got gentleness or humility and being humble. Depends on which translation you look at. Pure, peaceable, willing to yield is the definition that's given in the New Revised Standard Version. Submissive was the one we heard in our pew Bibles. Full of mercy, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Wow. Wonderful traits to try and obtain, to try and act out. I officiated at a wedding last week, and willingness to yield seems really easy when you're planning a wedding and you're 21 years old, doesn't it? If you've been married a little bit longer in a longer relationship, sometimes that willingness to yield gets really hard to do, doesn't it? Yeah. Full of mercy, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. But we do get partial, don't we? We get partial to our way and what we think is best and what we want. And that's exactly what James was warning everybody about, because that's the kind of wisdom he was running into in the church. And he wants people to focus instead on being God-centered in their lives. Because a life that is God-centered is not an ego-driven life. It's not a life that's envious or grasping. It doesn't look for self-gratification. It doesn't want its own power. kind of sounds opposite of the culture we live in, doesn't it? Which made me think with the next question he had, from what do conflicts and disputes arise? And we certainly have been experiencing a lot of those. All you have to do is turn on the news and find out somebody's not happy with someone else somewhere. Where do they arise? James tells us they arise when we focus on earthly things, on possessions, on property, on power, on control. I'm reluctantly technologically involved in culture. My mother's obviously older than I am, and she's got a Facebook account, and I refuse. But it's the only way she can keep up with her teenage grandchildren, so she has to, you know? And it's like, okay, fine, I get it. I hope they've invented something different, better by the time I ever have to worry about keeping track of other people. I don't know. I have reluctantly gone into the computer world because it's hard to find carbon paper anymore. I remember when they first came out. Okay. The very first time I had to work on computers, we had to learn MS-DOS, you know? So when they came out with an operating systems called Microsoft, it was really kind of exciting because you didn't have to know MS-DOS, which is great because I forgot it really fast. But they had icons. I was troubled by that a little bit. An icon is to be that through which we look to see that which will improve us. Well, that fits that definition, doesn't it? But icon has kind of always been a theological word. The window through which we find God. The window through which God becomes clearer to us. People like James were cautioning early Christians and even Christians today that oftentimes what ends up happening is the icon becomes the idol. And we start worshiping the window, forgetting the God on the other side. We get distracted into earthly things. Well, in 1991, when I was getting excited because there were icons, I think it was 91, maybe it was 92, I don't remember. Very few people had PCs. Have you ever had a conversation with anyone under the age of 25 where they looked you in the eyes and could talk to you about their own thoughts and their own critical thinking conclusions? I want to hear about it after worship, because I tell you what, most of the ones I've had lately, and they're Googling. They got to correct. They can't debate or question or respond with their own thoughts, because they got this little thing that's going to tell them what to think. And while they're talking to you, they're responding to their friends, which makes you wonder who they're more fully present to. And are they finding God? Or are they working to have power and control and popularity and possessions and earthly things which take us away from God? Who is wise and understanding among you? From what do conflicts and disputes arise? James says conflicts and disputes arrive because we start needing that which we really should only want. And we start envying others for what they have and what we don't have. And I am the first generation to be raised on commercials. Visual imagery over the television telling me that if I have this toothpaste and my teeth are whiter, everybody will love me. Or if I own that car, I'll be popular. Or if my house looks this way, I'll be in and ahead of everybody else. look at our culture, driven to have what we want, to make ourselves over to fit the box that corporations and marketing people and entertainment people have told us we should fit into. Our lives, our clothes, our homes should look like their images. We did skip a couple verses there in the assigned text, but in there is the question that James raises, which to me is the most important. What does God want? What does God want? God wants us to live lives centered on God, taking our sense of value, worth, and identity from God's love for us. Receiving with open hearts and arms gifts that God can give us, that we might be truly wise, that we might be gentle or humble, that we might make peace, that we might be willing to yield because we can see farther down the path than someone else. Because it's not about our power or our control. God wants that our primary identity is measured by our closeness to God rather than the possessions we accumulate, the accolades we receive from our peers, and the authority granted us by others. When we're baptized, we're named a child of God, recognized by God's community as such. As we grow up, the world's going to give us so many messages about who we should be and who the world wants us to be and who the world thinks we are. Sometimes we get distracted and we lose sight of that primary identity, that we're a child of God, called by God, gathered together in the body of Christ, that we might be reminded by one another of this wisdom, that we are beloved and blessed and gifted by our Creator. Who is wise and understanding among you? From where do your disputes and troubles come? And what does God want? May you know the answers to those questions today and in the days to come. Amen.